As we begin to conclude our six-week series, you'll remember that when you walked into the sanctuary one Sunday morning, all of the banners were blank. And through Kelly's creativity and leadership by the Holy Spirit, we've been filling those banners in. And once again, our first week, we looked at praise through sacrifice. And then the next week, we said, no matter what happens in our life, we can always praise God. The story of Job. And the third week was, come as you are, God welcomes you just who you are and as you are. And because he welcomes us as we are and for who we are, then our chains are gone and we've been set free through his unending love and amazing grace. And this week, we'll be talking about, it is well with my soul, even in the storms of life. And then because of this progress, next week, during this worship service, you will each be given a piece of paper that you can put one thing on that you will be thankful for, or are thankful for, and you will be building our sixth banner. And at the conclusion of that message, then we will celebrate in our annual Thanksgiving dinner. So that's kind of where our journey has taken us. Now, as we begin today's message, I would like for you all to take a deep breath. Just let out all of that tension, that emotion, and just relax. And for people like Pastor Val and for people like Frankie that can't sleep at night, I want you both to pretend like you're asleep, and the rest of the congregation, you can too. But don't fall asleep, please. Just be relaxed for a minute. It's the early morning hours of a new day. You are in a deep sleep. And suddenly you're awoken by the ringing of your phone. And as you sleepily come to, your heart is pounding. And immediately you think something terrible must have happened. As you answer, you hear the familiar voice of a trusted family friend. His voice is frantic. He tells you that your adult son is coming over with some of his gang members to kill you, and you must get away immediately. And sadly, you're not surprised. You have been estranged from this son. You've not spoken to him for several years because he murdered one of your other sons. He killed his half-brother in revenge because your son had raped his sister, your daughter. This son was always a hothead growing up. He was always prone to violence. You truly believe that he is coming in anger and hatred to kill you. You leap out of bed, you grab your car keys, jump into the car, and peel out of the garage as fast as you can. You did not take your wallet. You don't have any of your credit cards. You have no cash with you. You only have the clothes on your back. And you cannot go to another family member's home because you do not want to put them in danger. You've already been to the police. They told you that they could do nothing until he actually did something. Your mind is racing. You're frantic. What do you do? Where do you go? You're so tired. And you pull into a rest area to get some rest. And in that moment of quietness, your situation comes crashing down about you. You suddenly realize that your life is in shambles. Your daughter was raped by his half-brother, or her half-brother. You had a son murdered by his half-brother. That son's out to kill you. You think, God, where did I go wrong? And then it hits you like an iceberg hitting the Titanic. You started this chain of events by that affair you had so many years ago. You opened the door for sin to ravage your family. And much of the blame must fall at your own doorstep. How would you feel? Devastated? Suicidal? Do you think you could find any soul satisfaction in God at that moment? What would you think if I told you that not only could you find soul satisfaction, but I will show you exactly how you can find that soul satisfaction? Because King David found that satisfaction. He found that satisfaction in just that situation. How do I know this? Because David wrote about it in Psalm 63 while he was still in the desert of Judah. He wrote, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods, with the singing lips, my song, my mouth will sing praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of the liars will be silenced." We all go through devastating times. Let's put some names with the story I mentioned a few moments ago. David wrote this psalm as he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who wanted to kill his father and take over his kingdom. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he opened the door for sin to ravage his family. And it certainly did. David's son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. In revenge of the rape of his sister, Absalom killed Amnon. And King David banished Absalom from the kingdom. David refused to forgive him or to speak with him. And in the meantime, Absalom built an army of his own and was ready to activate his plan. David was fleeing for his life. He did not know if he would lose his kingdom. He did not even know if he would lose his life. In verses 1 and 2, he describes his devastation. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory." We hear through this passage that King David is thirsty for God. There is a deep longing in his soul. There is an aching. He is hurting. He's crying. His son wants to kill him and take over his kingdom. Like a man stranded in the desert, dying of thirst, David thirsts for God. We're told that David yearns for God. He longs for God. David is experiencing a deep longing in his soul for God. His life is falling apart. He's fleeing as a fugitive for his life. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. I long for you." David is spiritually dry and weary. He writes, "In a dry and weary land where there is no water." He looks out over the barren, desolate, dry Judean wilderness and thinks, "That's what my soul is like. God, I am dying here. My soul is dry. I am weary. I am tired. I'm ready to quit." Have you noticed in some of our most devastating times, we feel spiritually dry? David was devastated. He was lonely, longing for a sense of God. We all do experience times of devastation. But hopefully no one here experienced the devastation that David did. Still, we've all had experiences and a measure of devastation. This may have been at the death of a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a death of a child, a breakup of a marriage, the loss of a home, the loss of a job, the loss of health, the finding out that we may have some awful, dreaded terminal disease, a child's sinful behavior. All of these things leave us devastated. And we, like David, find ourselves in a spiritually dry and weary land, devastated, longing for God's presence. However, David found God and soul satisfaction in his devastation. The good news is we can too. You can gain soul satisfaction through focusing on God. We must take our eyes off of our situation and focus on God. David's satisfaction came when he took time to focus on God. In verse 6 we read, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." David used the words remember and meditate to describe focusing on God. We might use the words ponder or mull over something or contemplate. Or if you're a true Southerner, you might say, let me study on that for a while. We're talking about thinking about God. We're talking about spending time pondering God, concentrating on God. No matter what word we use, the idea is the same. We focus on God, not on our situation. And David focused on God during the night. Have you ever noticed how everything seems worse at night? Pain is always worse at night. When I was with hospice, patients would call with unbearable pain at night, more so than during the day, it seemed like. And even though I had a total left knee replacement 6 years ago, my knee, when it does bother me, still bothers me more at night. Our emotional pain and our problems also seem worse at night. How many of us have not been able to go to sleep because a problem caused us so much worry? How often has it felt us to be overwhelmed? Or we woke up in the middle of the night and we weren't able to go back to sleep. And finally, you drifted off to sleep. And when you woke up the next morning, the problem did not seem nearly as bad. David took advantage of those nighttime moments to focus on God. He would turn his thoughts to God. He would turn his thoughts from his devastation and focus on God. And when David focused on God, he found true soul satisfaction, as expressed in Psalm 63:5. I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. David is drawing a comparison between the satisfaction we feel when we have eaten a great meal and soul satisfaction in God. We all have had numerous occasions when we felt as though we were starving. There are those times where you go to somebody's house to eat, you're hungry when you get there, you're ready to eat, and you're told it's going to be another hour before they serve food. They are sitting around talking, and you are starving. And finally, you're invited to sit down at that great meal. You eat, and you're satisfied. That good feeling you have, good food, good fellowship, makes things just seem better. That's the feeling that David had in mind. He found spiritual satisfaction. He found contentment. It made him want to praise God. Just like you, after a great meal, you praise the cook. That was a great meal. That steak was cooked to perfection. David praised God. We all experience times of devastation, just like David did. Even in those times, we can find soul satisfaction by focusing on God. David did it, and we can do it. What was it about God that David focused on? We should focus on those same things. Focus on what God has done for you. David wrote in verse 2, "Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." David remembered the rich times that he'd had with God. He had enjoyed close fellowship with God. He had seen God's power and God's glory. He remembered when he had defeated Goliath. We need to focus on what God has done for us. We need to remember those rich times we have had with him. Remember those times when he poured his love over you? Remember the difficulties he brought you through? God has been there for you. Focus on those times. As in verse 3 and 4, focus on God's loving kindness, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. David focused on God's covenant love. He focused on God's loving kindness. God had entered into a covenant with God, with David. God had a commitment to keep that covenant. And God lovingly and joyously kept that covenant. God was personally involved in David's life. This is better than life. He did not want to live without this relationship with God. And we need to focus on God's covenant love for us. He will not abandon us. He will not forsake us or desert us. He has entered into a covenant with us, and he will never leave us. Joshua 1:5 tells us, and Hebrew 13:5 repeats it, that God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God is at work in whatever your situation is at this moment, even though you cannot see him and you do not feel him. Focus on God's loving kindness to you. Focus on God as your help. Verse 7 tells us, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." God had delivered David out of many dangerous situations. The lion and the bear. Saul throwing the spear at him. Saul sending his men to his house to kill him. And David was trapped on a mountain. Saul's men were closing in all around him. And suddenly, they got word that the Philistines had attacked. They left. David escaped. He pondered those times that God had been with him. Even though Absalom was out to kill him, he would get under God's wing and sing for joy. And we must focus on God's help for us. I think about the times that God has helped me, that God has helped each of you through difficulties. God was our help then, and God is our help now. Focus on God as your sustainer. In verse 8, David wrote, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." David held on to God for dear life. And in reality, it was God who was holding him up. David knew his soul was prone to wander. He was tired. He was weary. He wanted to give up and quit. He knew it was God who kept him faithful. David did all he could to hang on to God, but he knew it did not depend on his strength. It was God who was holding him up. Focus on God as your sustainer. He is the one who keeps you faithful. You may feel overwhelmed, weary, tired, ready to give up. You may think that you just cannot keep going. But God will not let you go. He will not drop you. He will sustain you. We cling to God. But even if we let go, he holds on tight. Focus on God as your protector. David wrote in verses 9 through 11, "For those who seek my life to destroy it, it will go to the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped." David focused on God as his protector. He knew God would keep him safe. God would protect his life and reputation. God had years earlier penned these words. I'm sorry, David in those years earlier had penned these words in Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, as Absalom was seeking his life, he would focus on the truth. We must focus on God as our protector. He is our spiritual protector. Satan is out to get you, but God is your protector. You may feel under great spiritual attack. Flee to God as your protector. Focus on him. God is your refuge. He is your mighty fortress. You will experience times of devastation. When you do, you can find soul satisfaction you long for by focusing on God. Maybe it will be in the middle of the night, but you need to get alone with God. Remember, ponder the things he has done for you. Remember his loving kindness towards you. God has been your helper. God has been your sustainer, and God has been your protector. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by Horatio Gates Spafford. Tragedy is associated with the writing of the words of this hymn and followed closely the composing of the music. H.G. Spafford wrote the poem in the mid-Atlantic over the exact spot where his four children had drowned just a few days before. His wife and his children were sailing to France on one of the largest ships afloat. It was rammed by an English iron sailing vessel and sank to the bottom of the ocean within 2 hours, killing 226 people. Mrs. Spafford lived, but the four children were lost. Just weeks before that tragedy, Spafford had lost everything he owned in the Great Chicago Fire. Then, if not tested enough, he lost all of his children. As soon as it could be arranged, he sailed to Europe to join his wife. And on the way in December of 1873, the captain of the ship pointed out to him the spot where the tragedy had occurred. And here, in the dark of the night, with a heart heavy with grief and pain, but still surging with faith and hope, Spafford wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast cast me to say, it is well with my soul." Philip Paul Bliss was a great songwriter and composer. He wrote the music for this hymn in November 1876. 2 weeks after it had been written, Bliss and his wife were killed in a tragic train crash in Ohio. Now, it was reported that Bliss could have escaped, but he chose to die beside his wife, who was caught in the flaming wreckage.